Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas!
Hello, welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
We are here to do a week one preview for the 2018 NFL season. Finally here, we've passed Labor Day, we've passed final cuts, preseason's over. There's a goddamn regular season game tomorrow night featuring the Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia.
And the previous Super Bowl losers, the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
I know, we're here.
I know.
We are here.
It's real. It's real, yeah. This game on Thursday night is going to be fun as hell because the Eagles are missing a bunch of people in their front seven. They're clear. Carson Wentz still not cleared for contact. Nick Foles has looked up and down in the preseason.
He looks terrible.
You just have no idea what you're going to see out of the Eagles, and they are coming off of – you know, that is always a thing when you come off a championship that teams can regress, and you see it big time, especially for Super Bowl losers.
Mm-hmm.
Tend to regress even more than the victors. But a team like the Eagles, who had such a good season last year and finished it off in such an epic way, there's that part of me that sees like the 1999 Rams in them, where it's like they came out of nowhere and were outstanding and just blew expectations to the wind, that now I wonder if they think that they're the absolute shit. And they're missing people.
They're missing a lot of people. Is Jason Peters even back yet?
No, Jason Peters isn't back. Their left tackle's a total sieve. And I think Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham, it's like two of their premier defensive linemen are just out.
So, yeah, we got that. We went over final cuts. We have the 53-man roster solidified.
Mm-hmm.
We got rid of a lot of garbage players, which was good.
It was just, there weren't many shockers.
There weren't a lot of surprises, no.
I know we always say that there are surprises, but it's just like Vincent Valentine's on the practice squad now. Brandon Bolden's with the Dolphins.
That was kind of a surprise.
Kind
of. Jordan Richards is gone, thank God. a couple of players that were surprise makes were, you had the D-lineman Davis make it, who's... could be pretty impactful. He looked pretty damn good in the preseason. Then you had the two undrafted rookie corners make it in J.C. Jackson and what was the other guy's name?
Keon Crossen,
who got roasted in game two. He played with the ones and just looked so out of place, but they kept him. So
yeah, they must like something about him.
Raw talent. I wanted to bring up a real quick point with you. It's funny, you know, talking with some friends this weekend about the AFC, and you're looking around. There's really not, you know, you talk about the Patriots and where they're going to be, but then you look at the competition. You know, you could say the Steelers, maybe Baltimore, and then maybe Jacksonville, and then all the other teams. It's like there's so many lingering questions. There's so many positions. It's like maybe San Diego takes a step forward, maybe not. They just lost their starting cornerback, and it's, you know, you look at the whole AFC, and it's just like Jesus Christ. It's
yeah, like, I don't
the
think
Patriots.
Anybody... Nobody you know. Would debate that the NFC is stronger in
right.
you know the top four teams or something. The NFC, you know, they got the Packers, always a dark
yep.
horse. Eagles, defending champion. Vikings, great balanced team. Same thing with the Saints. The Rams
mm-hmm.
are making all kinds of pushes to be a legitimate contender. There's a lot of teams in the NFC and the AFC, as you mentioned, question marks everywhere,
right.
including with the Patriots.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd say. The Patriots are easily the most solid team, though, when you look at it from a
100%.
From a far, far away. And it's like, you know, everyone's saying 11-5, 10-6. It's like, you know, I get it. We might lose maybe the Texans or maybe the Jacksonville or something. Texans are another one that could be in there, depending on how Watson comes out. But it really just a down. And even last year was the same thing. It was a couple the last few years. You know, it's funny. You think it was, especially with cuts this time around. I mean, you look across the board. Say 10 years ago, when it was timed for cuts in the NFL, there were some big names that were chopped into free agency, whether it would be contract or, you know, people moving on from a certain player. But there were some guys that were always there every cut, you know, every year in the cuts that were like, oh, wow, I can't believe they let him go. Like, or wow, that guy went let go. I can't believe that. This year, you look at like the notable cuts. It's like no one. It's like no one I recognized.
Yeah, just about. There were a lot of holdouts, and Khalil Mack obviously getting traded is a big deal. He was holding out. Earl right. Thomas ended his holdout. Le'Veon Bell still not reporting.
Yep.
So I've situations like that maybe previously used to wind up with a cut, and now the lingering and kind of resolves itself unless it winds up in a trade. There's also the fact that for the last, since the new collective bargaining agreement, which I think was 2011, the mm-hmm. cap has gone up like on average 8 to 10 million a year.
Okay.
And so it's like, and they added that new provision where teams can roll over cap space. You don't just lose it. That's how you wind up with the Browns having 100 million in cap space
mm-hmm.
because they're rolling it over from year to year. So the salary cap crunch doesn't quite have the same impact it used to have, you know?
True. That's a good point.
So maybe teams are willing to negotiate with a player like Dwayne Allen, who's getting paid five times as much as he should, and then they restructure, and he still has, if he meets all his incentives, which I doubt he will, but he could still make that same $5.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still in line to make seven next year as long as they decide to pick up his roster bonus on the third day of the league year.
Yeah, he's getting...
But I said the same thing. We both said the same thing with 100% assurance in right. March, and then again in April, and then again
maybe,
in May.
Maybe he's a dark horse and he comes out of nowhere and plays well. But even so, he'd yeah. have to be as good as Gronkowski for them to keep him at 7.5.
But it's for seven. But the point remains that there just is space for a guy yeah. like that. When maybe previously when the cap was only at 120, granted he would have never gotten 70 a year if the cap's at 120, but it's more flexible now than it was. So yeah, maybe that's why.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the rookie pay scale is a lot lower.
That's true.
So rookies aren't making crazy dough. There's no more Sam Bradford contracts out there, first round picks making mm-hmm. $60 million day one, never played a snap.
Right.
But yeah, the roster doesn't have too many surprises. It looks better than I felt like it did. I don't know. I feel unsure about this team. And this is why doing a preview for a game against the Texans this year, who also come in with a bunch of not new faces, but people who are coming back off of serious injuries.
Right, a lot of questions.
On their team. So you look at their team and you don't know exactly what to project. You look at our team and you're like, I don't know which Eric Rowe is going to show up. You know, right. Marcus Cannon hasn't played in the preseason at all. Trent Brown's making his first real start at left tackle. And yeah. you just don't know what you're going to see. I mean, Rex Burkhead is a full go, but how good is he going to be?
What can he do? Is Philip Dorsett, can he do anything?
Yeah.
Same with Cordarrelle Patterson. Are our linebackers going to be able to fucking tackle somebody?
These are things. And we're going to be saying things like this for the next month, really.
Right. Really till week 4 or 5.
Yeah, until we get a better feel. And what's great about this season is they get tests right up front. I mean, it's actually not great. I shouldn't say that. It's great from an analysis perspective.
Right.
Where you go, oh, we can see them go up against Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt, and then you're going to see them going into Jacksonville to play the Jaguars, who gave them all kinds of trouble with that talented defense.
Mm-hmm.
You brought up the Jaguars before. I was thinking recently... We would have thought the Jaguars were, like, okay at best until they beat the Steelers in the playoffs.
Yes.
So, like, if you asked me on the first weekend in January last year, you asked anybody, you asked the experts on TV about the Jaguars, and they'd be like, man, they eked out a playoff win against the Bills.
Right.
At home, Blake Bortles is a nobody. And then the next week, they go into Pittsburgh, dominate the Steelers. They go into New England and take them to within an inch of their playoff life. And now we're sitting here going, oh, the Jaguars are really goddamn good, right?
Yeah.
They're like a Super Bowl contender. That's all it takes is eight quarters of good football. And now you're like, oh, I completely believe in this team. Blake Bortles has shown that he has what it takes. Has he?
No.
That's the thing.
He hasn't shown anything.
Yeah, but everybody agrees that defense is extremely, and yeah, you just
definitely
you can't
solid
sleep on any level. But the let's get back to the other teams in the AFC. You mentioned the Chargers, very trendy pick right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have an established quarterback. You mentioned they lost Jason Verrett. They've played for years without their top quarterback. Jason Verrett's been very injury prone, going back to Brandon Flowers getting hurt. They get Keenan Allen back, and I think Keenan Allen has potential to have another huge hickey did to go.
Yeah, he's a very good player.
He's so talented, and a guy that I didn't believe in coming out of Cal, but he has proved me eminently wrong. So the Chargers are a good pick because they got players on both sides. They can rush the passer, they can throw the ball, they can run the ball. The Chiefs are an interesting team offensively. Defensively, they are just completely void of anything. The Raiders kind of did a similar thing to themselves. When we see the weapons they have on offense, we feel pretty good about that. I don't know how in touch John Gruden is. Is he going to be the play caller there?
I think so.
He always was the play caller. I'd be surprised if he wasn't. Is he rusty? Can Derek Carr have a bounce back season? Crabtree's out of town. But then that defense.
Marshawn Lynch too old.
Yeah. But that defense now just lost its best player.
They sucked last year.
And they were bad already.
That was a bad, bad, bad defense. So, and they just lost their best player.
Yeah, so there are critical deficiencies in a lot of these teams. The Steelers can't get along.
Yeah.
They might have the best roster in the conference, and they can't get along.
Yeah, you had two offensive linemen shitting all over the running back today.
Because he still hasn't showed up. He won't sign his $14 million instantly guaranteed franchise tender.
Yeah, that's what they said. He's selfish. And it's like, oh, that's great. So your offensive linemen are pissed at your all-pro running back. You think they're going to want to block for him?
Yeah, it's a bad situation.
You think that's going to work out? Plus, a lot of the players were pissed off at Mike Tomlin from last year.
Those stories, I bring them up almost every week on this show. They still blow my mind. How do you show up late to a playoff game? A player, Le'Veon Bell, showed up late to that Jaguars playoff game, and one of the coaches showed up late. And by late, I mean inside of an hour and a half before the game. Like, he missed the on-field walkthrough.
Yeah. No wonder they got their asses kicked by Jacksonville.
Yeah. So the culture of that team, Achilles heel, big time.
Exactly.
Jaguars, quarterback question marks, up the yin-yang. And the Ravens can be sneaky good at
times.
They could
be. So if Joe has anything left.
Yeah, you don't know what the Ravens, they always have the possibility to.
But He's got Lamar Jackson behind him now? So maybe he's got some motivation.
Yeah.
But who knows?
He's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, they've looked pretty good the last couple of years, and ended up sucking. So
he got hurt last year.
You never know. Our whole division is trash.
Which really brings us to the Texans.
Right.
The Texans might have the brightest future of any team of the ones that we just listed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside Jacksonville. Just assuming, let's be honest, Blake Bortles is not going to be as good as Deshaun Watson. It's just not.
We hope not.
Deshaun Watson was playing at a borderline MVP level.
Yeah, unless Deshaun Watson takes a huge step back.
Yeah,
because of his knee, which is possible.
Certainly a rookie of the year level. Did he win it? Who won it? Oh, no. Alvin Kamara won it.
Yeah.
But if Deshaun Watson didn't get hurt, he would have won it.
Yeah, it would have been easily his.
So you talk about Deshaun Watson, legitimate number one receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. Defensively, they have three outstanding pass rushers. J.J. Watt's already a Hall of Famer. Jadeveon Clowney's one of the best pass rushers.
Yeah.
Whitney Mercilus, coming off an injury, has a ton of talent. Bernardrick McKinney is a really good blitzing linebacker. They have Zach Cunningham, who's an athletic freak at the other inside linebacker position. They're loaded in the front seven, and then they have bodies in the back to back it up. They
got Tyrann Mathieu at safety.
Tyrann Mathieu. Oh, my God. Tyrann Mathieu could be a complete X factor.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Jonathan Joseph's a little bit long in the tooth, but still a good player. Kevin Johnson's a guy that I really like who can't stay healthy, but he should be a good corner. Kayvon Webster. Kareem Jackson is a solid cover guy that they moved to safety in the Devin cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things to like about this. A lot.
Yeah, the biggest question mark, you know, on offense, if you go to offense, they have DeAndre Hopkins is great. They got Will Fuller. DeAndre Hopkins, in my mind, if he had a good quarterback all those years he played, he'd probably be the best receiver in the league.
I cannot get on board with that. Not even a little bit.
Makes ridiculous circus catches. And he's had no quarterback until last year. And he lit it up.
I know.
It was unfair.
But he doesn't separate.
He doesn't need to.
He's never going to be on that Julio Jones, Antonio Brown level for that reason.
Well, he never gets hurt, so what about that?
Good for him.
All right. Anyways, regardless of what you say.
He's a true number one, though. He's a
true number one. I think top three receiver, but arguably top five, top seven, whatever, wherever you want to put him. Sure. One of the best in the league.
He's Will still Fuller. A problem.
Yeah, Will Fuller is a solid receiver over there.
He's your classic number two speedster.
Yep. Offensive line is still pretty bad, though.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They don't There's have a lot of names. Answers. You yeah. really the thing is, you look at these things on NFL.com and ESPN.com, and you try and look at their freaking goddamn depth chart, and they just don't have anything up there. I don't know if that's just my computer or whatever, but just like, yep.
HoustonTexans.com, bro.
We got nothing for you.
I can name the guys. Left to right, Julian Davenport, Senio Kelemete, Nick Martin, Zach Fulton, Chantrell Henderson. There's only one name on there that matters, and that's Nick Martin at center.
Yep.
He was a good player at Notre Dame, but they traded away Duane Brown, their left tackle anchor last year. Traded him away like right before or right after Deshaun Watson got hurt, and they don't have many answers outside that center position.
No.
Zach Fulton's okay. Chantrell Henderson has some, but on the left side, those are new players.
Yeah, not great. You've also got Lamar Miller.
Lamar Miller is solid, very consistent okay. running back.
Yep, he's okay. Nothing wrong there. It's really about the offensive line. And then it all really comes down to Deshaun. Will Deshaun be comfortable when he comes back? Will he be hesitant? Will he be able to run? Is his knee reacting okay? We don't know.
Somebody talk about Deshaun Watson, they go, when he unleashes that 4.4 speed and like starts moving, I'm like, what are you talking? First of all, he did not run a 4.4. He ran a 4.6. So slow your roll, first of all. And second of all, he's coming off of a devastating knee injury.
Yep.
So I wouldn't, and he's going to be wearing a brace. I wouldn't expect him to be nearly as aggressive with his legs as he has been. Yep. At least not in game one. So
right.
You can't expect him to have the same running game immediately that he did last year.
You know, out of all the players, you know, you see ACL injuries all the time now in the NFL, and guys come back from a year, so you see how they respond. And I hate to say it, but the truth is, almost like 95% of those guys that come back are hesitant.
At least initially. That's
what I mean. It takes them 6-8 weeks, maybe a whole season to get back into it. And we know very well from just Tom Brady. When Tom Brady came back from his knee injury, we didn't have obviously the best squad either, but he was hesitant in throwing the balls. He threw a lot more balls away because he was worried about getting hit or he was worried about the knee. And it's just, that's a natural reaction. That's like a survival instinct. We saw the same thing when Wes Welker came back. When he came back, he had some dropping issues and he got over them. But it was a gradual, you know, get back to 100%. It wasn't like, oh, you're healthy. I'm on the field. I'm 100%.
Right.
Yeah, your body might feel 100%, but your mind is not on that level yet. And we're going to get him in his first game back. And, it's, you know, preseason to, I don't know how much he's played in the preseason. I haven't really seen him. But preseason to the regular game is so much faster.
Yeah, big difference.
That. He, you know, it's going to be tough for him to respond like that. And it sucks that I'm saying that because we also have our own in Julian Edelman. When he gets back, hopefully the suspension will maybe help that, you know, him move into that a little easier. But that's definitely a problem.
I'm not really worried about Edelman being hesitant.
No, I mean, I'm talking about for them and Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah. He had an outstanding game against Patriots last year.
Oh, that was his coming out party.
It was clearly his coming out party. He had like four touchdowns. He was throwing dimes. He was running. He was moving the chains with his legs a lot. And I would expect that to be less of an impact this time. But the way he was throwing the ball, the way he was in the safeties, extending plays with his legs, he has the ability to be a serious problem for this team. And I really think that this game and a lot of the beginnings of seasons are a measure of how, like, where offenses are at the time. Because I feel like offenses take a lot longer to gel than defenses do.
Yep.
It's all about execution on offense, and they just don't have that much practice time.
No.
So that's why you see so many offenses struggle at the beginning of the season. And I know you could bring up Stephon Gilmore blowing coverages last year as an example of defenses not being gelled at the beginning. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Totally buy that argument. But I think our offense with different receivers, missing Brady's his outlet guy in Edelman, although James White should be a big impact player.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are serious question marks with the Patriots offense going up against a very talented, and I think the same exact thing for the Texans offense. And I really think that whoever's going to win this game is the offense that can get it done more often. I think it's more about who is able to execute offensively than anything else. Right. And you have to lean towards Brady versus Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, as good as he looked last year, what has he had? 8 career starts maximum?
That's what I mean.
Right?
Especially on top of an ACL injury where he's so reliant.
Yeah.
And it's not even reliant on his legs for actually running for first downs. With this offensive line last year, he had to make a lot of moves in the pocket, and which was he was so good because he would make the moves in the pocket and throw it downfield still instead of running like a lot of other quarterbacks.
Or letting his eye level come down and worrying about people being around his legs.
Right. So, exactly. So he has to worry about that now, and that's going to be tough, and especially with only 8 starts under your belt. I mean, he was just getting into the groove of, all right, this is how this works, and then he gets hurt, and now he's got to get back into that groove with this thing on his shoulder.
Right. But now he's going into Foxborough when anybody else would be understandably nervous, and he played one of the games of his life in the exact same situation.
True.
He's got nothing to lose, really, in this game. The Texans aren't favored. It's not like they're expected to win on the road.
No, and if he gets blown out, no one's going to be like, oh my God, Deshaun Watson's head. No.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone like, still
he needs some time. Yeah, he needs some time. We'll give it a one.
Yeah, so it looks like he has 6 starts and played in 7 games.
Right.
And we're like, is he going to unseat Brady? This defense scares the shit out of me, though. J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, Bernardrick McKinney, Zach Cunningham, Jadeveon Clowney, Christian Covington. They could put all 6 of those guys on the field while having, on the back end, Jonathan Joseph, Kevin Johnson, Kayvon Webster, Tyrann Mathieu, Kareem Jackson in coverage. I mean, they can give us serious problems just in coverage with the weapons that we're able to put out there, which is not much.
It's not much right now.
So they could put out those coverage guys and then match up a Marcus Cannon, who will be rusty, more likely than not. Trent Brown, as I mentioned, first start at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going against, granted, coming back from injury, Whitney Merciless and J.J. Watt, but still, fucking J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
And then Jadeveon Clowney in the mix as well. It's a scary proposition. Everybody
they
knows
they usually take care of Watt.
Well,
they usually take care of Watt, but Clowney has had some success against us.
Because they like to double and triple team. I remember seeing them triple team Watt multiple times. How do you triple team a guy?
Yeah.
That's respect in the biggest way possible. So, yeah.
Exactly.
It was last year, right? That Clowney had that strip sack that went back for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone knows that's how you beat Brady with pressure.
Yep. And you mentioned weapons. One thing about final cuts that we were surprised about is we didn't really get a receiver. We got a cast off from the Jets who was cut and signed him, and another guy that was a cut immediately after because he had surgery they didn't know about. So we really didn't upgrade the wide receiver position at all.
Nope.
Which we were expecting, and it didn't happen.
Hey, we got Chad Hansen.
That's the guy from the Jets.
Chad. He's going to be good, right?
I mean, I'm hopeful.
Yeah, me too. I know. This is the first game of the season. We're gonna get a better idea of what we got. Sony Michel is slated to play. The one thing you can say about the Pats right now, very healthy. Everybody participated in practice today.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, so far. But they should have a full squad. I don't know exactly who the inactives are going to work out. I would imagine Chad Hansen's not going to suit up. But
I tend to think no.
Outside of him offensively, they'll probably make a decision between Burkhead, Jeremy Hill, Sony Michel. Not all 3 of them will suit up. But Geno Grissom, unless they feel like he's integral to special teams, one of the rookie cornerbacks. You understand. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be end-of-the-line guys. We're not going to be missing a starter due to injury. So they go in with a full squad. Obviously, Edelman's out. But the
health-wise.
Health-wise. They should have their best chance to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Health-wise. And I'm worried about the matchups. But if I were the Texans, I'd be worried about the matchups too.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I lean towards the Pats, but I recognize the formula to beat the Patriots, and the Texans check every box. So yeah, maybe I'm deluding myself that thinking the Patriots have the edge.
Well, I think they do.
Yeah,
I've never been sold on the Texans.
Yeah, well, I vote low score game. I think it's going to be 16-13.
I was going to say 24-17, Pats.
Did you know that the Patriots score in the Super Bowl this past year? I can't remember exactly how many points they put up, but they put up enough points to win every single Super before that.
Yeah, they scored. I did know that they won. They scored the most points for a loser ever, for someone not to win. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but they also scored more points than every other winner.
Right.
Oh, no, they absolutely did not. Because the Niners put up like a 50 spot against the Broncos in the 80s. Yeah, so they scored
most
more than every other loser.
Most points to lose a game.
Yeah, exactly. So they scored more than any other loser, so they would have beat every other.
Which to me is funny because that was such a vaunted defense, and everyone goes, oh, they beat you. Yeah, but they had to lead up, what, 40 points to beat us? Yeah,
pretty close.
They had to put up 50, almost 50 points to beat us. It's like, doesn't sound like a good defense. Nobody was saying that the Patriots defense was all world, all pro like the Eagles.
Yeah.
And then they make one play to win the game, which granted, they made the play, don't get me wrong, but they looked horrible up to that point.
Yeah.
And that was with like 2 minutes left.
Oddly enough, the Patriots defense had more stops than the Eagles defense did in that game. Forced more points. I don't think the Patriots punted once.
They didn't. No, because, well, we went for it. We went for it on a fourth down, and we missed a kick. Throw to Brady. We missed the kick to Gostkowski. Missed the kick on a botched fucking snap.
Yep.
So, yeah, those are points that we missed, but all right.
Yeah. The other games this weekend, there's not that many intriguing ones from my point of view, but...
Well, you got the Thursday night game, which we talked about.
Thursday night game is going to be great. I'm pumped.
That's a beautiful game.
Yeah. Outstanding choice by the NFL to put that one up. The other ones that I think the Texans Patriots game, if I wasn't even a Patriots fan, I'd be pumped for that game.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the perspective of Deshaun Watson coming back from injury, and I'm a huge Deshaun Watson fan. Jimmy Garoppolo has a tough first assignment. It's got to go into Minnesota, play the Vikes.
Yep. Here's a good one for you. I would love Cleveland to come out and smack Pittsburgh in the face. I could see it too. Just say, you know what? We haven't won last year. We're beating the shit out of you this year because you guys are a fucking hot mess.
Yeah, they are. That team culture is in a tailspin right now. And if Le'Veon Bell comes back, it doesn't fix it. Doesn't fix that. Fixes the talent.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown's coming off an injury too. He missed like all of August.
Right. Who else they got? Cincinnati and Indy sucks. Tennessee and Miami. Yeah, pretty much sucks. Tampa Bay, no. Orleans.
You love to rattle off the shitty games.
Kind of sucks, yep. Jacksonville at New York. Yeah, might be cool to see just Barkley versus Fournette. Not bad. Kansas City at the Chargers.
That's
4 o'clock game.
That's the one I was just going to bring up. Yeah.
That's a good game.
I think Patrick Mahomes has the opportunity to have a breakout year.
Yeah, we'll see.
But he could also fall flat, and I have no idea. It's a total roll of the dice, and that's why I want to see it against the Chargers, who could be one of the best contenders in the AFC, as we mentioned.
Plausible, yep. Washington, Arizona, not terrible. Who's Arizona's quarterback?
Sam Bradford, dude.
Oh my God, terrible game.
They kept Mike Glennon, and they drafted Josh Rosen, but Sam Bradford remains the
starter. Yep. Dallas at Carolina 3 years ago.
That's a good one.
Incredible game.
Still good.
Good, but still it would have been like best of the week a couple years ago.
Look, man, I've been saying all offseason, when you put the combination of Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott has proven in every game they played together to be
pretty good.
To be a pretty strong matchup.
Yeah, and Carolina's a strong team.
Yeah, Carolina's a good team.
They got Seattle good at Denver. So the funny thing about that is that was a Super Bowl a couple years ago, and that should be an unbelievable game, but yeah, it's okay.
Nah, I mean, the Denver's quarterback situation sucks.
What do you
Seattle's
mean?
A mess.
They have what's his face?
Case Keenum.
Yes.
You're a Case Keenum believer?
No, I'm not a Case Keenum believer.
Yeah, that's why their quarterback situation sucks.
But wait a second. He's decent. He got a team.
He's okay.
The NFC Championship, and he had 2,000-yard receivers.
Yeah, he's okay.
That's to me is, I mean, it's not like even fantasy drafts, both of those receivers were dying, and I bought into it. And then I was like, why is these guys, I should have taken them. He had 2,000-yard receivers last year. He'll make them 1,000 yards. I mean, it's fine. He'll be fine.
I think Case,
he'll be 8-8.
Case Keenum is as good as Trevor Siemian ever was. Like peak Trevor Siemian, that's how good Case Keenum is. It's not good.
Or better.
That's where I view him.
Trevor Siemian, if that's true.
We'll learn more.
At a certain point, everyone said that Trevor Siemian was the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
By like week four or five, and then okay, so
the Case Keenum, that's not bad. Simeon ever was. That's how good Case Keenum.
Yep. Now Chicago at Green Bay. Now I assumed that would have been a bad game, but now that Chicago has Khalil Mack,
it makes it more fun.
Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks next to each other.
I do like. I'm
pretty fucking good, if you ask me.
To watch Chicago now that they got Allen Robinson as a finally giving some sort of weapon. Because could you name one receiver on that team last year?
Nope.
No, because they didn't have any.
Yeah.
And so now they got Allen Robinson. I feel like they picked up somebody else too. But
they have Jordan Howard at the running back position.
Like
not bad.
I like their running back duo. They have a nice running back duo. And then I don't believe in Mitchell Trubisky, but I'd love to be proven wrong.
I think he sucks. Their defense actually might be decent.
Yeah, their defense could be a lot better now. Leonard Floyd plus Khalil Mack makes things a lot better. And yeah. Roquan Smith. Oh, my dude. And middle linebacker ended his holdout. I would just love for him to be in that line. That Butkus, Singletary, Urlacher, Lance, Roquan Smith. Just makes sense. It all
yeah,
makes
I think
sense.
So.
And then on Monday night, how fitting, John Gruden makes his return to coaching during Monday Night Football.
Absolutely. We're they had to do that.
Booth, but it's great to watch. A lot of fun.
Yep.
And the Rams, I'm intrigued to watch the Rams. The Rams, I feel like, will go 5-0 to start the year, and everybody will. That'll be the pick. But I think there are too many. I'm not sold on Jared Goff yet. Not totally sold. I'm sold on Sean McVay.
I'm not sold on Goff.
I'm very sold on Sean McVay though, offensive play caller, head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But that defense, it's built on a lot of old guys, a lot of strong personalities.
That's what it is.
That defense has Ndamukong Suh, Aqib Talib, and Marcus Peters. Who's number one in that group? Because Aqib Talib is used to being a number one personality. Marcus Peters has been known since his college days as a difficult dude to have around. Ndamukong Suh called himself a mercenary. He didn't say that. He didn't say that, but he basically said it. So I don't believe in that team gelling just yet.
Right.
I would vote for the Saints over.
If I was going to try to pick a Super Bowl team at this point.
Yep. I'd agree with you. And then the Jets and Detroit. That's just a whatever game.
Once again, always bringing up those shitty games.
Yep. Alrighty. Well.
Yeah. How about the Jets starting quarterback?
Sam Darnold.
It's been named. Is he the only rookie that's like truly been named the starter? Because Baker Mayfield's not the starter. Josh Rosen certainly isn't. Josh Allen is not the starter. Yeah, I think it's Baker.
Yep, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anything else you wanted to cover?
I think I'm pretty good. I think we're set. See what happens. NFL's starting.
This is it. Welcome to the season, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to have you.
We're here.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the games this weekend as much as I know I will.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back to recap this game and all the rest of them next week. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you soon.
Adios.